Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, it's good to be with you again on this Lord's Day.
Awesome.
I would like to invite you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, and in the Pew Bibles, that's going to be page 1159. Page 1159. As you're turning there, I just want to remind you of the context of the passages we're going to be in this morning. The Gospel of Mark sets forth the objective of presenting to us the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Who He is, what He does, and what He's come to do for sinners like you and me. How He is the one who God has sent to fulfill the promise of an anointed King who would come with authority to reign and rule over His people. And the Gospel of Mark sets forth many examples of Jesus' authority. His authority to raise the lame, to be healed, to be able to walk upright, to cast out demons, to forgive sins, and to restore people to right standing before the Father. Jesus comes to His people with authority. And in His authority, He calls men and women to Himself to be in fellowship with Him, to come and see who He is and what He's about. But particularly, He calls 12 men to Himself and leads them into new situations where they're always seeing who Jesus is and what He's doing. And often, Jesus will lead them into new circumstances, new situations that require them to wholly rely on Jesus. In the context of the passage that we have before us this morning, Jesus leads His disciples into a circumstance, into a situation where they're in a wilderness place and no food. But not only that, there's a great crowd of 5,000 people with them. And Jesus, being the shepherd king that He is, provides for His people in the wilderness place. The disciples see it, they behold it. The people marvel. Actually, it says that they gather up 12 baskets full after all the people have been filled. They gather up 12 little baskets like lunch pails, 12 little lunch pails full of bread and fish, perfectly fitting into the hands of each one of His disciples. Jesus, the shepherd king, provides perfectly for His people in the wilderness place. But Jesus is going to send them into a new situation in our text this morning, where they're going to learn and see more about who Jesus is. And that brings us to the reading of God's word, which I want to remind you not to harden your hearts, but to open your ears and to receive the word, because it is the inspired, infallible, and errant word of God given to us now. So let us pay close attention and heed the reading of God's word. Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 45. This is the word of the Lord. Immediately He made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after He had taken leave of them, He went up on a mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and He was alone on the land. And He saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, He came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw Him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out. For they all saw Him and were terrified. But immediately He spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And He got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. This concludes the reading of God's word. Let's ask for Him to add a blessing to the hearing, the reading, and the preaching of His word this morning. Let's pray. Our great and glorious, gracious God, we thank You for Your goodness to us. We thank You how You've called us to Yourself, and You've called us through the heralding of the good news out of the mouth of Your Son, that You have come and that You've preached the good news of the gospel to us. That the kingdom of God is at hand, and therefore we should repent and believe the gospel. Father, open our ears to hear, open our eyes to see, and open our hearts to receive the glorious news that Jesus has drawn near. The time is fulfilled. The King has come, and He bids us all to come and to bend the knee to kiss the Son, and have fellowship with you. Father, we pray that we would come with joy in our hearts, for we were glad when they said to us, let us go to the house of the Lord. And Lord, we have come to Mount Zion, and you called us here through your Son. Now you've called to us through the reading of your word this morning. So Father, I pray for your help and your Spirit to come now and to make the word effective in each and every heart, that we might put our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There's that word in the Gospel of Mark right there in verse 45. Immediately. Urgently. As if something really important is about to take place. Immediately, Mark says, immediately Jesus makes his disciples get into a boat while he sends the crowds away. Why the urgency? Why the rush? Why what's going on that Jesus immediately turns from providing in the wilderness place these baskets full of bread for his disciples and meeting the hunger and the need of the crowd? Why immediately does Jesus send with such great urgency his disciples into a boat to go to Bethsaida across the sea and tell the peoples to go back to their homes? Why the urgency? Well, the Gospel of Mark doesn't tell us specifically, but John chapter 6 tells us that after Jesus had provided in the wilderness place for the great crowd and the masses and his disciples, the people turned and desired to make him king. The people desired to make Jesus king. And Jesus immediately separates his band of followers, the 12, separates them from the great crowd trying to make him king. He sets them and says, you get to the boat right now and you start paddling over to Bethsaida. You go cross the sea. And he turns to the crowd and sends them away. Because Jesus knows that the intention of the hearts of men is to establish their own way, their own desires, and to fulfill their own wishes. And they see someone provide for them in the wilderness place. Well, this should be the guy that we make king. Look what he can do for us. Let's make him king. But the important thing about King Jesus is he is not king because men will it. He is not king because a crowd establishes it. He is the king who reigns and rules because the Father has anointed him and has established his anointed one on his holy hill Zion. And it's not going to be the will of men that make Jesus king. No. The Father has willed it. And he has established his anointed. And Jesus is king because God has declared him so, not because men have willed it. And so Jesus separates the crowd from his disciples, and he sends his disciples across the sea. Now notice, Jesus sends them into a boat to cross the lake in the middle of a storm. He's not with them. He puts them into a new circumstance, a new situation, but he's not in the boat. They are now in this boat without Jesus in this new situation, in this new circumstance, and he's not even present with them. And the text tells us that they left in the evening time. About 6 o'clock in the evening, they start to cross the lake. And they are paddling, making headway painfully. Why? Because the wind was against them. They're not advancing. They're not making progress. They are striving against a storm that is literally against them. I wonder this morning what you're facing that seems to be the wind against you. What circumstances, what situations, what difficulties are you facing right now? Let's start at the most basic level. What personally are you dealing with in your heart of hearts right now, in your life, where it seems like you are making headway painfully, where the wind seems like it's against you? What difficulty do you face personally? What difficulties do you face in your community or your home or your dorm or your literally your household? What difficulties do you face as a family? We can also ask what difficulties we face as a community, whether that be our town or our county, our state, or our country. What circumstances do we find ourselves in that we are making headway painfully the wind against us. We all, this terrestrial wall, have challenges facing us. And I would like for you to take that and bring it to the forefront of your mind and name it. What is the difficulty you're facing right now? What is the circumstance and the situations you find yourself in where you're making headway painfully? Don't just think about it and file it away. No, let's bring it right back up and look at it and say, this is my trouble. This is my hardship. But while you have that there, remember the Gospel of Mark is wanting to show you in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of the storms that you are walking through and you're making headway painfully, the Gospel of Mark is wanting you to fix your gaze in the midst of the storm on the one who tramples the waves. Because what we see is that Jesus, the sovereign Lord, yes, he does send his disciples across the sea and into the storm, and he knows exactly what he's sending them into without him. But Jesus wants to show you and wants to show us his glory and his power and his sovereign care, his shepherding care for his people, even in the midst of this troubling circumstance and situation. Because Jesus always leads us into circumstances and situations to show us more of himself. This isn't an accident. This isn't happenstance. No, Jesus knowingly sends them into the boat, to cross the sea, into the wind, so that they can see more of who he is. And faith alone is able to give us eyes to see the sovereign Lord reign in the midst of our troubles. The sovereign Lord who reigns, the sovereign Lord who tramples or treads the waves, as Job 9 told us. This Jesus, he goes up onto a mountain, and there's something for us to mark out in verse 46. After he had taken leave of them, he sent the crowds away, and the disciples are now in the boat. He went up on the mountain. Now, as you read your Bible more and more and more, you know if someone goes up on the mountain, something's about to go down. And that is exactly what's happening here. Jesus ascends to the mountain, and there he prays. He's standing on solid ground on a rocky mountain, communing with his Father. And brothers and sisters, there's a sidebar of an application point here that all gospel ministry flows from union with Christ. All gospel ministry flows from communion with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How do we know? Because Jesus shows us that he goes up to the mountain to commune with his Father. And in his communion with his Father, he is strengthened, he is comforted, he is empowered to go forth from there to serve his people. If that's the Lord Jesus, how much more are we his people? Gospel ministry always flows from union with God. If you try to do the work of gospel ministry apart from prayer and apart from union with God, you will wear yourself out and burn up. Not burn out, burn up. Because all of gospel ministry flows from union and communion. So if you want to see the Lord work in your life, don't go try to do things for him. Go and hear his heart and have him strengthen you and minister to you, and he will send you. Ken Smith, the pastor in the RP I met one time in Pittsburgh, and he said, young man, and we were standing in line waiting for lunch, I was really hungry, but he had a lesson to teach me, and when a 9-year-old man has a lesson to teach you, you shut your mouth and don't think about your stomach and you listen. He said, young man, if you'll focus and devote yourself to cultivating your heart before the Lord, ministry opportunities will rise up everywhere. So seek union, pursue union, focus on union with Christ, and ministry will happen. Otherwise, you'll just burn out. I'll never forget that. And here the Lord Jesus ascends this mountain. But when the evening came, as the sun was going down, Jesus, standing on the mountain, looks out. And notice, when evening came, the boat was out on the sea and he was on the land. There in trouble, he's standing established on the ground. And he sees them. Look at verse 48. Evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And verse 48 says, and he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. Note that first, that Jesus sees the trouble that they're in. The Lord Jesus, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is aware of their trouble. He sees that they are making headway painfully. He knows that the wind is against them. This isn't outside of his realm of knowledge. He actually sees and he knows. And that reminds us of Exodus, when God looked down on his people in Egypt, enslaved in Egypt. He saw and he knew it was time to act. This sovereign Lord who tramples the waves of the sea, before he walks to them, he sees them in their trouble. And remember that thing I told you to come to the forefront of your mind? He sees you too. He knows the troubles that you face. He knows the difficulty that you're in right now. He's mindful of you. He doesn't just know intellectually. He knows as if he's in it with you. He sees and he knows. But watch how this text continues to progress. The Lord is mindful of them. He sees them. And he sees the difficulty that they're in. And then the text continues and says, and at about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. About the fourth watch of the night. Now, we don't talk like that anymore. What is this fourth watch of the night? I said at evening time, about 6 p.m., the sun's going down. And at the fourth watch of the night, which is somewhere between 3 a.m., and 6 a.m. They've been rowing all night long. And remember, making headway painfully, exerting all of their energy, exhausted, worn out, making no progress for 9 hours, maybe 12. Then Jesus comes to them. He comes to them in their exhaustion. He comes to them in their weakest point. He comes to them after they have been rowing and rowing and rowing. And I'm not much of a boatman, but these men are people who know the sea and know how to navigate the waters. And they are in trouble. And about the fourth watch of the night, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., Jesus comes to them. Why so long? How long are we going to have to make headway painfully? Is he not mindful of us? Does he not know? Where is the Lord? We're on the sea and he's up there on the land, standing on the earth, and we're at the mercy of the waves. For how long will we have to row? But notice, it's when they're at their most exhausted point, when they have nothing left. Jesus not only sees them, he not only knows about their circumstance, see the mercy and the grace of the sovereign Lord, and at about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. He doesn't just see, he doesn't just know and say, well, that's some trouble. Oh, he moves in mercy toward his people in their distress. The text says he came to them. It's the next phrase that should blow our minds. He comes to his people walking on the sea. You look like you've heard that before, but let's think about it here. He comes to them walking on the sea. Men do not walk on the sea. Oh yeah, it's Jesus, of course. He's walking on the... No! I try to walk on the sea, and I am at the bottom immediately. You try to walk on the sea, maybe you're a little bit better and can paddle a little bit and float for a while. But none of you, and I will not be able to walk on the sea. Jesus sees them. He sees them in their distress. He sees them in their trouble. And he walks to them out on the sea as if he's still on the Rocky Mountain. The sea under his feet becomes more firm than earth. He treads the waves. He tramples the waves. Who is this man who sees his people in their trouble and comes to them in their distress, walking on the water? Does that not astound you? Does that not amaze you? Or have you become so comfortable with the text that you're like, of course, it's Jesus? Oh, that the Spirit would awaken our hearts to rejoice and see that this is no mere man just taking a stroll. There's something more going on here. And Mark wants you to see it. Mark wants me to see it. He wants us to behold it together, to see who it is that walks to us and comes to us in our distress, even in the most impossible way. What seems like an impossible situation or circumstance in our mind, Jesus tramples over it. He treads on it as if it is the mountain. The water becomes like the earth under his feet. He comes to them. But note, as he comes to them, Jesus' intentions. It says that he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them. He meant to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, again, there it is, they thought it was a ghost. Because again, men don't do that. And they cried out. For they all saw him, they all beheld it, they all witnessed it, and they were terrified. So imagine that. Absolute exhaustion meets terror. Absolute exhaustion meets terror. How do you respond in that situation? But we have to deal with this idea that he meant to pass them by. And if we call ourselves only New Testament Christians, which isn't really a thing, by the way, you can't unhitch yourself from the Old Testament. No, we're biblical Christians. We love the Word of God. If you don't know your Old Testament, you cannot understand what it means when it says he meant to pass them by. Because this has nothing to do with destination, and it has nothing to do with his direction. It has everything to do with revelation. He's not intending to pass them by to beat them to the other side. This is not a race. That's the weirdest flex. Just walk past them on the sea, get over and greet them on the other side if they ever make it, making headway painfully. This is not Jesus showing them that he has some kind of like game to win or some contest to win. No, it actually shows us that he meant to pass by them in order to reveal himself to them. Where do we get that? Is it not in Exodus 33? Where Moses says, Lord, show me your glory. And the Lord passed by him and preached one of the greatest sermons in all of Scripture. Yes, God preaches. It said, as he passed by Moses, he declared, he revealed, he proclaimed his name, the Lord, and God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He passed by them, passed by Moses in order to reveal himself to Moses. It also happens to Elijah in 1 Kings 19:11, there on the side of the mountain, hiding in the cleft of the rock. The glory of the Lord passes by to reveal to Elijah who the Lord is. This isn't about destination. This isn't about direction. This is about revelation. He intended to pass by them so that they see him, so they encounter him, so that they perceive that it's not a mere man, it must be something else that's passing before them. And in their human reason, they become very scared. They become terrified, it says, because they cried out thinking it's a ghost. It's a specter. It's a spirit. But no, it's the Lord Jesus. He passes by them to reveal who he is to them. And when men encountered the living, sovereign Lord passing before them, trembling and fear is an appropriate response. Because you cannot comprehend the glory. You cannot comprehend the majesty. And in this trouble and in this difficulty, the Lord Jesus walks to them in order to show them who he is. And so it is with you. And so it is with me in our trouble. In the circumstances and the situations we find ourselves in. He wants to show you his sovereign power and his glory. Are you looking? Are you watching? They were all terrified. Exhaustion meets fear. That's terror. Many of us have encountered that, where you're just so tired. You come home from a long day of work and you have that one kid. I have six of them, but there's that one. His favorite day of the year is April 1st, if that tells you anything. But you come home after a long day, you're exhausted, and someone just thinks it would be funny to pop out of the closet and say, boop! And you're like, ah! Exhaustion meets fear. That's a funny way of thinking about it. But think about it in real circumstances, where you're driving home and you're tired, and you encounter that accident. And nobody's there yet. That's fear. And that's terror. What do you do? Jesus meets them in that circumstance and in that situation. He meets you when you're exhausted and you're afraid. But here's a question I have for you. When Jesus, whom you know to be authoritative, glorious, powerful, man that he is, comes who has the authority to drive out demons, to raise the lame, to forgive sin, to heal sickness. You see him walking to you in your terror, and he comes to the side of the boat. What do you expect him to say? What do you think that Jesus would say to you in your terror while you're in the middle of a storm and he's just standing there on the sea? What would you expect him to say to you? Hey, why are you flipping out? Why being so silly? Come on, man. Act like a man. Maybe it's that critical sound of the overbearing father in the back of your head. Do you expect Jesus to talk like that? I don't know what you expect him to say, but I don't expect him to say what he does say. He comes to them, and there it is again, immediately, with urgency. He speaks to them in their distress. He speaks to them in their trouble. He reveals his glory passing before them, but then he speaks to them. And what words he speaks. He said to them, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." Jesus comes to them in their trouble, in their trial, and the words that fall out of his mouth are all gospel, are all grace, are all mercy. There's no judgment in his tone. There's no shaming them for not believing. There's no belittling them for their doubting. There's only the word of the gospel. The good news that Yahweh proclaimed to his people. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Literally, take heart. I am. Do not be afraid. It is I is translated well here, but literally it means I am is here. I am has come to you. Take heart. Be of courage. I am. I am. Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God, reveals himself as the one who is the self-sufficient, self-sustaining, transcendent, glorious God who is I am. And Jesus says, take heart. I am Do not be afraid. Take heart. Can mean be courageous, be strengthened. It also can mean in Psalm 46, verse 10, it says, be still. Stop flailing. Stand and see. Behold, take heart. I am here. You see that? The Lord is here with us now. And He has a gospel word to speak to you in your circumstances right now. Take heart. I am here. He also would have you hear, do not be afraid. Have you ever walked up to someone who is really scared or full of fear and in terror, exhausted and fear colliding, and someone walks in the room and says, oh, just calm down. Calm down. Out of all the calm downs, that's never worked. But when I am comes and He speaks, do not be afraid. He brings all the comfort and the power to calm your fearful heart in His word alone. Don't be afraid. I am is here. Let's talk a minute about fear. When fear grips your heart, how do you respond? How do you react? A couple examples. Maybe when you become fearful or terrified or afraid, you flail. You run around with your hands waving, oh my, I don't know what to do, and you're a flailer. I'm not judging you. I'm one of you. You know, Chicken Little, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. That's a flailer. Are you like that? Again, I'm with you. Maybe, I'm also with you here too, by the way. Maybe you're a spiraler. And you just start to spiral down. It's bad, but you know the way to make it worse. You know where rock bottom is, and you're trying to get there because you're a spiraler. And you just start naming all the things that are wrong and all the things that could go wrong going forward. Are you a spiraler? Again, I hear you. I'm with you. And you're like, where did you learn all these things? Experience. Maybe, not quite like this, but maybe you're one who just freezes. You have a backbone of steel, and you just stand there, and you're the kind of people like this time of year because you like to get scared, but you just stand there, and you keep your eyes open, you watch everything, but you don't move. You just watch it. You don't know what to do with yourself. You just freeze. That's what you do when you're afraid. You freeze. Maybe you're a lot like me in this. You're not a flailer, you're not a spiraler, you don't freeze, but maybe you're an avoider. You close your eyes, you plug your ears, and you just tell yourself, it's not real, it's not real, it's not real, it's not real. It's not happening. It's not happening to me because good things don't happen to people like me. It's not real. It's just my imagination. And you avoid the thing. I don't know where you're at. I'm sure that all of us are somewhere within those categories. But my question is, no matter who you are, Jesus comes to you and says to you now, don't flail. Don't spiral. Don't freeze. Don't avoid it. I am here. Your circumstances, your situations, the gospel preached to us by the Lord Jesus Christ in this text is that He sees, He knows, He's come to you, and He reveals Himself in all of His glory to you. And what comes out of His mouth is, take heart. I am here. Do not be afraid. Be still. Cease striving. Know that you're not alone. Jesus says this to them while He's still standing outside of the boat while the wind is still blowing. He speaks to them in their trouble. He preaches the gospel to them while they're still in trouble. After all those hours of rowing, the wind still hasn't ceased. But he preaches the word to them. He preaches reality to them in their trouble. Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Take heart, I am, do not be afraid. He preaches that to them in the midst of a storm. And then and only then, after he has shown himself glorious and sovereign, trampling over the waves to them, and only after preaching the good news of who he is to them, verse 51 says, and he got into the boat with them. He got into the boat with them.
Yes.
And the wind ceased.
Yes.
The mercy and kindness of the Lord Jesus is to say to you that even though you might be in a difficult situation and circumstance, the one who has authority and power is with you. He sees and he knows and he's come to you. And even if he does not get in the boat, you can be comforted. You can know that he has all authority and you will not be abandoned. But see the grace and the mercy and the kindness. He gets into their circumstance, into their situation with them. And then immediately, the storm ceased. Only the sovereign Lord who tramples the waves is able to look at that same wind, those same waves, and cause them to cease, to cause them to be still. Only the sovereign Lord who created the heavens and the earth can speak and bring stillness to that trouble, to that storm. Only the sovereign Lord, only Yahweh himself, who has revealed himself to us in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is no ghost. This is no mere man. The one who tramples the sea, the one who tramples the waves, is the Lord God himself. And he comes to his disciples and brings peace to their difficulty. This same Lord God comes to you and is speaking to you in your trouble and in your circumstances. Are you listening? Because as we wrap up the text here, we see that they were utterly astounded. The sea is calm. The wind has ceased. There they are, able to row, not painfully, but normally, still exerting much energy, but they're able to make headway. They're astounded because they don't know what has just happened before them. And the verse tells us, they were utterly astounded. Verse 52 says that it's not because of what they just beheld. It's not because of what they just saw. It says they did not understand about the loaves. About the loaves. Like, Jesus just walked on the water and came to his disciples, caused the winds to cease, and they're astounded because they don't understand about the loaves. Like, how did we get this bread? Like, you have a lunch pail? You have a lunch pail? I have a lunch pail. Hey, Jesus. This is astounding. How did we get this? We were in a wilderness place with nothing in our hands. No way to have salvation or deliverance or food. And we have it now. Where did we get it? They didn't understand. They didn't understand about the loaves. They didn't understand about the man walking on the water. Why? Look at the text. I hope you have it there open before you. Because this is given to us as a warning. It's given to us because we are people like them. They were astounded and did not understand. Their hearts were hardened. They beheld the glory. They saw the wonder. They heard I am speak to them. Yet they did not comprehend because their hearts were hardened. You have heard. You've seen. We bear witness to this text because it's been given to us by God's grace, preserving it for us to hear. And it's God's authoritative word delivered to you to speak to you right now in your trouble and in your circumstances and in your situation. He sees. He knows. He's coming to you in all this sovereignty and all this power. And he speaks to you. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Do you believe him? Are you trusting him? Because I know your troubles are real. And I know the circumstances and the situations you face right now are hard. And they seem to be at a point where they might just overthrow you. But the sovereign Lord, he who tramples the waves, has come to you. And he speaks to you now because he is here with us. Take heart. I am here. Do not be afraid. Receive that. Believe that. Put your confidence in him because he is speaking to you. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. Do not harden your hearts as your fathers did, but believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Where is your confidence? Have you received this into a heart of flesh? Or are you still doubting and unbelief? Because you have not yet understood that I am this here. And he's come to bring you salvation. Look to him. Trust him. He is coming. Do not harden your hearts. Only repent and believe. Change your thinking. Have your mind awakened to the glory of who Jesus is in the middle of your circumstances right now. And trust him. He will bring peace to your heart. And that peace surpasses all understanding. Believe on the Lord. Let's pray. What great and glorious God, we thank you for your word. We thank you how you revealed yourself to us. That you've spoken to us this morning about the glory of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who not only created the heavens and the earth, but reigns and rules and cares for the heavens and the earth and cares for us as people. Lord, you see our trouble, you know, and you come to us in our distress. And in your grace and your mercy, you speak a gospel word to us. Father, let our hearts be strengthened and our lives be established to trust and behold that you are with us, that you've come to deliver us, and that we need not be afraid, but trust in you. Lord, if there is anyone here this morning that is in distress, will you speak this gospel word to their heart right now? And by your Spirit's mighty power, work faith in our hearts to believe. Transform our hearts that they might not be hardened, but that they might be hearts of flesh that have the law of God written on them, and that we would trust you and put our confidence in you and have peace. Lord, we pray you do this mighty work for your people. Those who have made covenant with you, Lord, and you have made covenant with them, we pray that, God, we would trust and rest in you. For those who have not yet put their faith, the faith that you give in Christ, Lord, work that powerful, mighty work even now in their hearts, that they might have peace in their situation and in their circumstances. We pray this in Jesus' powerful, sovereign name. Amen. Let's stand and sing to the praise of God in response. Psalm 107, selection D. Psalm 107, selection D.